It's wonderful to be in God's presence together, worship Him, and really experience the reality of God amongst us. This morning there was just such a strong presence of the Lord, and I trust that in His presence we have all been changed, because that's what happens when we look to Him. We're transformed, and we just, you know, to know God is actually the passion of your spirit. And sometimes your mind and emotions needs to catch up with that. But actually your heart, if you belong to Jesus, you have a desire to know Him. Because He's put His spirit in you to cause you to walk in God's ways. And I'm so thankful that while we make decisions and choices based on the will of God, that we don't accomplish His will with self-effort, but that He Himself is at work with a willing and obedient heart. And in this time where God is moving and doing things amongst us, this fresh season, there's a fresh call to prayer. And we really sense that something's happening in our relationship with the Lord that will break out into amazing deeds and works for God's glory. And this morning, Pastor Andrea and I both had exactly the same vision when we were praying. And I thought I'd start this morning by bringing that vision to you, because it's very unusual for two of us to have exactly the same vision. And we both saw by the Spirit when we were praying before the meeting, we both saw how, you know, there is this swell in an ocean that brings up the full force of that ocean, and it begins to build and build and build until, a bit like a tsunami, it crashes onto the shore. And what we believe God is saying is that what He is doing amongst us in our relationship with Him and in prayer, the unseen, you can't really feel it. You can't see it, but you just sense there's this groundswell or this water swell of the Holy Spirit at work. And that will at one time break out into manifestation. So there is this movement happening through the Spirit. And that movement is happening as we yield to Him and we seek Him and we pray, which is why prayer is so both foundational and essential to everything that God wants to do. As I quoted John Wesley last week, God does nothing on earth except in answer to believing prayer. And Jesus gave so many prayer promises, and He called His disciples to be men and women of prayer, people of prayer, the churches to be fueled and inspired and moved into the presence of God to pray, so that the things He wants to do, the great things, will actually break out. And you know, the unseen work is so vital. Prayer is you can't carry on being someone who is not a person of prayer if you're really going to see the things that God has planned for us. And that's, you know, he gives us His promises, but all the promises need praying in. We have promises over our lives, over our families, over our destinies. God's word has given us promises as a church. And it all needs praying in. All needs praying in. And that's why God is activating us and moving amongst us to produce this swell of the Holy Spirit that is rising to break out on the shore of the world, actually, demonstration of the Spirit and power. And I want to speak this morning on your prayer life, really, and my prayer life, our own individual prayer lives, private, personal devotion. And I'm going to use this example from watching the highlights of Test cricket, which happened, I think I watched it last week, was it the week before, when England thrashed India in the final test. And I'm kind of, I cannot watch the whole test. It's like watching paint dry for me. But I can watch the highlights, and I think that's quite exciting. So I kind of wait till it's all put in a short, if I've got the time and I've got the availability to sit down and watch TV, which isn't always. So I don't always make it a religious thing to do. That's an interesting comment. But I watch the highlights. And Alistair Cook used to be captain of England, great batsman, and one of the greatest, if not the greatest scorer, test cricket, most runs. And he was playing his last test. And to be honest, I was moved. And I know that sounds weird to probably a lot of people in this room. Moved by cricket, who can be? You either love cricket or you hate it. It's a bit like Marmite. You know, you either love it or you hate it. And Pastor Colin loves cricket, and I lived with the Urquharts for many years, and I kind of had to watch it. And my nephew loves cricket, and it kind of connects me with him. So when England are playing, I always get to know what they're doing so I can have a chat with him. But I do admire these athletes like Alistair Cook. He finished his last game for England on a spectacular note. And he had a standing ovation from a very large crowd that just went to watch Alistair Cook play. And the result was that he got more than a century. He got, I think, 149 or 147 runs, which was actually to finish his test career on such a high was just what you'd want, because a lot of people, they peter out, but he went out on a high. And I was thinking about this word devotion, because devotion is a really important word when we spend our time and our lives on things or people we are devoted to. Now, Alistair Cook spends his life and has spent his life on cricket. He has been devoted to being trained. He's been devoted to practice. He's been an athlete who's wanted to keep fit, to receive coaching so that he could be the best that he could be. And a fantastic, spectacular man who won a many test centuries. But he didn't play test all the time. He didn't see these spectacular moments every week. And I think as a Christian, we are to see more and more spectacular moments in God. Like 147 runs, we need to be seeing signs and wonders and miracles and manifestations of God's greatness. Like Jesus said, greater work still you will do because I've gone to the Father. The one who believes in me, you know, you pray and you'll see awesome deeds. God will answer those spectaculars. And in my history, I've seen a lot of spectaculars. And I'm going to see 100-fold more in my future. I don't know about you, I hope you're reaching out for more than you've ever seen in God. And the secret to Alistair Cook's life is that he didn't just play test cricket. He did the training and he did the stuff that needed to be done so that he was ready for those spectacular moments. Now, if you think about a man in Scripture called King David, in the Old Testament, he had some spectacular moments in God. Goliath, defeated by this one young boy, really. In the name of the Lord, this boy, he knew God and he did that great exploit out of his faith. That spectacular moment was building like the ocean builds behind the scenes. In his life and devotion to the Lord, in prayer and worship. And there was this building up of the power of God in his life, so there was a breaking out of the power. And King David, if you read the Psalms and you read Samuel or the book of Chronicles about the things that he got involved in, he was a man of prayer. And his prayer, whether it was trouble that came against him, his life of prayer, he would always go to the place of prayer or go to God. In Chronicles, it speaks about a stronghold when the enemy came against the people of God and David, he went to the stronghold, that place in God where he could be alone with God and pray and seek God to find out what God was saying so that he would know the way to see a breakout over the enemies. And God moved, and God was called the Lord of the breakout or the breakthrough because David had found that place with God relationally. It was almost like the swell of the ocean happened in the stronghold and the manifestation happened out on the field. And many times we want the manifestation without the stronghold. We want the awesome without the building of our own personal time with God. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a leader, a new Christian, or someone who's been a Christian for a long time, the manifestation of God will be in relation to what's happening in the secret place of prayer, on your own with God. And so the more that is fueled, the more you will see God do. Okay, so time alone with God. Sometimes we can be frustrated as to why aren't I seeing as much as so and so, or why isn't God doing such and such in my life? And maybe, just maybe, we need to take a look at the place of prayer, true relational contact with God that will then fuel and enable what God wants to do visibly in a demonstration of answers and miracles and power. And all of us come under the same word of Jesus. You know, as disciples, whether you're a leader like me, or it doesn't really matter who you are, we all come under the same word, the word of God, the words of Jesus. And Jesus has some very simple things to say about prayer that actually we miss sometimes because we make prayer such a mystery, we don't think any of us can do it. And it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Jesus made it possible so that even children know how to pray. And when a child knows how to pray, let me tell you, they'll get answers. And it's the same with every child of God. But devotion has to happen. A devotion to know God. And we are in an instant generation where all we want is God to move and move now. Are we not? And we're not really into devotion, we're into experience. We want the experience without the devotion. And this kind of world that we live in is getting more and more experiential. Everything's instant. I need to have it, and I need to have it now. I love reading through the word, you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the blameless couple, the priest that actually became the father of John the Baptist. He was serving before the Lord, and as a couple, they couldn't have children. And when the angel showed up, God said to them, "Your prayers have been heard." Now, they waited years until it was impossible for them to have kids. But the swell of the ocean, they prayed it years ago. And it was time now for John to be conceived. I love that. Your prayers have been heard. And he'd stop praying because it was already done. It was just a matter of time before it would break out. I love that. And so devotion to the Lord, to serving him and loving him and being in relationship with him and having a personal prayer life will affect your future and the future of your children and your children's children. It will affect the destinies of this region. Your prayer life affects people's salvation. If people are going to hell, just maybe, we can pray they don't and stop the flow into eternal destruction and see salvation come through faith in Jesus. Jesus says, ask and I'll give you the nations. And no one is saved without somebody asking for them to be saved. And so maybe, just maybe, prayer is far more important than we make it. And Jesus knows, and we can read through the word and hear all the stories about prayer. Jesus knows that unless we do prayer, not just teach on it, it will never benefit what's going to happen on earth. And that's why it's something to do, not just to hear. And when we hear, we must then move into practice. So Alistair Cook was a devoted man, but to cricket. King David was a devoted man, but to the Lord. And we've all got our little devotional things, whether we're devoted to things or sport or hobby or music or family. But can we find a people that will be devoted to him? God is looking to see the hearts of everybody, to see if they are fully committed or loyal to him. And he will show himself strong on behalf of those who are fully committed and loyal. And so Jesus, he wants to teach us afresh. We've heard these scriptures many times, probably many of us in this room. Some of you, maybe for the first time, you're going to hear this. Matthew chapter 6, let's hear the word of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. God wants to get his word to you. And it's really important. The word of the Lord is more important than anything else that happens in our lives. So Jesus is teaching on prayer here, and he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How many of you want the last three words? How many of you want that reward you openly? That's me. If you're here this morning and you don't, may the Lord awaken you to coming alive in Jesus, because God wants to openly reward people who have a devoted prayer life, their own time with God. And he starts by contrast. He contrasts the hypocrite, the fake, and the genuine. And the hypocrite, he speaks of, they love to pray. Everybody sees when they're out with their church or their connect group or in the worship team or whatever, I don't know, or even as a leader. Everybody hears you pray, but nothing's happening in the background on a real relational level. And so these guys are fake. They're hypocrites. They're actors. That's what a hypocrite is. It's acting, not true or genuine. And it's basically when you pray, your heart isn't in it. You just do it because that's what Christians do. They pray. And so when we get together, we pray. And we like praying together because it's all kind of encouraging and it's in the moment. But when we're on our own, we don't like praying. And it's like God says, let's not fake this. And you know, you can always change fake to genuine with the Lord. You can change. You can say, right, I'm going to sort this. Because that's all he asks, is to actually put these things into genuine prayer. If your heart isn't in prayer, it's cold. And, you know, in my own prayer life, I have seasons where I just do it, and I do it because I know that's what the Father wants for me. It's not that I'm always feeling great when I'm on my own praying. But I genuinely do want to please my Father. So I go to pray, whether I feel anything or not. And sometimes we have to distinguish between being a hypocrite and being in faith and not yielding to our feelings. So a hypocrite is just faking it. Someone who doesn't feel anything but is still doing it, but doing it with a good heart, is actually genuine. Yes? So it's not about what you feel, it's about what you believe. It's very important, because prayer, often we can feel very little, but it's still something that God calls us to do, is to go and pray. Now, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, when you pray. So who's going to pray? Me. When you pray. So he's talking to every believer. You are to pray. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a prayer. Say, I'm a praying person. And I'm going to learn how to pray even more. That God's going to stir something up in my life, yeah? When you pray, he says, go to your room. So there is the when you pray, God says, go to your room, close the door, I'll meet you there. I love that. Your Father is in the secret place, and I'm going to meet you there. I just love to think that if I go and spend time alone with God, God's saying, I'll meet you there. We're meeting with a person, not just praying. So prayer is all revolving around a person who Jesus said we are to call Father. And if we call him Father, then we're his children. And we've heard this morning how we're to be confident before God. But he says, when you pray, I'm already there waiting to meet up with you. Praise the Lord. Now, Pastor Andrea had something from the Lord on Wednesday night. And it would be great that everybody listened to that word from Wednesday night. It was quite a revival message. It was one of those very powerful times in God. And she had a vision, and she said, I saw that her own time with God happens in the evenings more than mornings. She's more of a night person. And she said, for her, she could see that God, every evening, went down to this restaurant and waited for her to come. Whether she went or not, he would always be there. And so, if there's no show from her, it still doesn't change that God is already there waiting. Now, just think about you and God for a moment. Think that every day God is waiting for time alone with you. Every single day. Or he's available all day. Now, Jesus says that God is always with us. I will never leave you or forsake you. But there is something Jesus wants to communicate, because moving into a secret place to pray, a certain place to pray and meet with the person to pray, God, your Father, means that you have to come out of everything else you're doing and into one-on-one relationship with God. This is one-on-one at a restaurant, like you see, two people having a meal together. It's one-on-one. And every day, God is waiting for a one-on-one with you. Because he loves you. Your Father loves you. He cares about you. In fact, even if you stand him up, he'll never stand you up. He's just waiting for you to come. And that speaks about us responding to love, not initiating it. Because he loved us first. But then we love him because he first loved us. And so to have a vision for your prayer time is to think, my Father's waiting for me. that he wants to meet up with me, and I'm going to go. It pulls something out of our hearts, the way Jesus is teaching on prayer, doesn't it? If he wants it that much, Lord, I'm coming. And I'm going to come and spend time with you. So we are to pray. He promises to meet us there. He takes the initiative and says, come, I'm waiting. But then Jesus uses this word, when you pray. And there needs to be a when. If you kind of don't schedule time with God, it's amazing how the when changes into occasional. But if you schedule time with God, have a disciplined approach to your personal one-on-one time with him, and make a when. Like, you know, I have when I'm going to meet up with certain people, when we've got meetings, when I've got appointments in London, I'm going to Mongolia in a week's time. I've got whens. I've got schedules. And my schedules are pretty, at the moment, currently, fairly full. But isn't it interesting if we bring prayer, personal prayer time in to try and fit into a busy schedule, you'll never find time. Because your own flesh doesn't want to pray. I mean, I hardly ever get to the point where I go, ooh, goody, let's go and pray. I go, we're going to pray. I've just made choices in my life which are part of the devotion and the discipline to being a follower of Jesus. And so when our schedules are so busy, it's almost like we should do what the smart car did. Take out everything that's already in the car. When they designed the smart car, they said, let's throw everything out and just put in just what we want. We have to have a review of our lives and say, okay, so when am I going to put God first, or is everything else coming first? Is work? Is family life? Is everything going to crash in so I never have time? Or am I saying, God, you're first in my life? Is he first? Therefore, let's have first choice of the day. I know it's got to work with my schedule, but morning, evening, that time when I watch TV, just maybe you're more important than that. And it's having a when that actually is vital so that you actually do have a disciplined, devoted prayer life. Like Alistair Cook, he had to train for the spectacular. King David had a prayer life, a relationship with God that then was manifest in great and mighty deeds. So a planned daily event. Now, some people have really demanding schedules. I think of parents, particularly. I think of if there's a mum with two or three kids, when? You know, it's like if one goes to sleep, the other's awake, and then, you know, everything's happening all the time. You know, it's not a straitjacket. Sometimes things have to happen. But if I miss a day because of life happening, I go back to the schedule the next day. And there's no condemnation. But I make it a lifestyle of devotion, not I can't fit it in. I had a friend once who said, basically at night, when my husband's in, I go, give me at least 15. Here's the children. That's the baby, by the way, that action. Here's the baby. Here's the kids. Bye! And they go to the room, close the door, and have time with God. Snatch it, but take it. Take time. Your flesh and the devil will not ever want you to pray. Your kind of attitude to me time. Sometimes I think, oh, I just need some me time. Actually, I need God time, and he'll make sure I get the me time. But if I put tired before God, or me before God, then things will get out of kilter and I'll never have a personal relationship with God. And it's something you've got to be determined personally to do. I learned this early on, and I learned it from actually my aunt. She's probably downstairs on the door this morning. But when I was first saved, I was shocked that I became a Christian. Nobody could have been more shocked than me that I actually got born again. And I didn't know anything. And but I knew that she knew God. And so she lived in Devon, and I lived somewhere else, so I had to come down for weekends. And I talked to her about relationship with God. And she and her husband always, always, always had time on their own praying and in the Word. It has been, I could say, her whole life has been a devoted life. Okay, she has lived out that devotion in every season, whether she felt like it or not, with five children or not, whatever was going on, working a farm, she always had a devotion time with God. And because of that, she has seen many waves crash on the shore. Because of what's gone on behind the scenes in the unseen place. And I learned from her. Oh, I thought, well, that's what you do. And I learned right from the beginning of my Christian life, I had to go to the secret place. I couldn't have her do it for me. And particularly when I went to live with Pastor Colin, I couldn't have him do it for me, because I'd never have a relationship with God, because he's so great. It'd be like, I need to know God for me. I want to know God. I don't just want to know about God. I want to know him. I want to experience him. And so I learned right from the starting point, you better get your body into that place. Get your mindset on praying. Get with your Father, because Jesus says he's waiting for me and I'm going. That was it. It was a choice. And sometimes, you know, praying, going to prayer on your own with God is just purely I will. I will. That's it, I will. And in times where you think, nothing's happened in the secret place, I don't feel anything, I don't know what's happened, but you know, I feel that what God is saying to us by his Spirit this morning, I'm building it, I'm building it, I'm building that ocean of power and life is coming. The Holy Spirit is going to do something awesome. You be part of it. Come to pray. I'm going to build, and it will crash. It will manifest. More breakout than I think any of us have ever seen is on its way. So let's get into the secret place to pray. Get up early if you have to. Sacrifice TV if you have to. Sacrifice fun. Your hobbies, if they take too much time. God is more important than a hobby. Eternity will reveal that. Gym time. It's amazing how we can find time for gym and not time for him. Bum. Time for gym, but not time for him. So Jesus says, when you pray, schedule it, then find the place. Go to your room. Now, I think Jesus is speaking kind of like a place where basically you can have alone time. Make sure it's alone time. So, some of these guys were married. You know, the early followers, these disciples of Jesus. He didn't say, go with your wife. He said, get alone time. We're to pray. Partners are to pray together. Families are to pray together. But you still need the alone time. And don't, you know, kind of, don't be jealous of somebody else having a great time. You just get in there and have one with the Lord, and it'll soon become great, right? Don't be like, oh, it never waits on me. They come out shining in their glory. I can see, you know, they're singing away, and I'm like, oh, I just did it. Just do it. Just do it. Because God sees what is done in secret. And he will reward openly, right? So find the place. Now, Jesus says, go to your room. Now, sometimes, nobody has a room to go to. The rooms are full. Sometimes it depends on what scenario you're in life. You might be having, guests or every room is like full of people. In one room, a toilet's usually good. And I've known a mum go to the loo just to pray because it's the only place that she could go. Bang, bang, let's lock the door. Right, I'm praying. Find the place. Sometimes it can be your bedroom. It could be your office before people come to work. Your car, your tractor. As long as you're not multitasking. Basically, that's what Jesus wants to communicate. If you're multitasking, you're not focused or devoted, right? So it's a time where you're not doing everything that you usually do and adding God on. I hope this is helpful this morning. But you're actually totally focused on the person, your Father who is in the secret place and prayer. I have built history with God in the secret place. Now, my secret places have varied over the years and over the times and seasons and even days and weeks. Sometimes I'll just go for a walk and it'll be my secret place, walking along a country lane or something or up a hill. And I'll have a meeting with God in prayer. Sitting at the top of a hill, I'll be like, whoa, by a lake. So don't be so kind of, I can only meet with God when I'm in my bedroom. It's different. And build history with God. Jesus built history with his Father on earth. You know, we know that. He was in a garden praying. He stood before the tomb of Lazarus. Father, I thank you. Public prayer, but he'd already prayed in secret. And as he stood before the tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. The groundswell happened and the result happened at the tomb when Lazarus was raised. But Jesus varied. He went all night out to pray. He went different places. He was always moving, on the move and in ministry. But he always found a place where he could be alone with God. The other thing, the secret of the secret place is don't bring everybody in with you. In other words, the age of communication is here. Where? Emails, texts, Facebook, Bing. Father in heaven, hallowed be your, I just so wonderful to be with you, Lord. Bing. I just hold it. I must get back to this email. And what's this is then? Who else is in there? The whole of Facebook? They can all come in anytime. Do you know people can? We're in an invasive time where anybody can come anytime, day or night. Jesus. Oh, never had a mobile phone. He did quite well without it. He fulfilled the purpose of God without it. Because he heard God and did it. Everything was born out of relationship. Not social media. Asking the boys, how are we doing in Jerusalem at the moment? Is everything going well? It was like he lived a devoted life to his Father in prayer. And we've got to disconnect to connect. We've got to unplug to plug into God. And you've got to go from your phone to your Father. From your family to your Father. From your job to your Father. And from your cares to your Father. And one of the problems that I regularly get is what I call mental coasting. When I go and pray to my Father, praise God, I'm there. I did it. You know, here I am. Look, I made it. Father, I'm here. It's brilliant. Okay? I celebrate every good thing. You need to learn to celebrate even that. I made it. I'm here. Then I'm going mental coasting. Oh, sorry, what? Yes, you're here. Right. What was I saying? And the mental kind of battle begins as soon as you get in the room. Has anybody found that? Your mind goes like everywhere. And so the best thing that I have found is to, first of all, talk out loud. Okay? Because when I'm talking to God out loud, rather than thinking prayers, I'm speaking prayer, I wake myself up to what I'm saying. And I engage more with God because of the words I'm saying. I'll start praising him for who he is, thanking him for what he's done. I'll just start to thank him. Sometimes it's just like, go for it. Thank you that I can walk. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy. Thank you that I have a house to live in. Thank you that you always provide for my food. Thank you that I know you. Thank you that, you know, you call yourself my Father, and I'm just amazed that you should be my Father. Who cares for me and provides? You're my provider. Thank you for your provision. I'll never have to worry because you're my provider. And you just start, and then things become genuine. It's like you feel you're with somebody rather than thinking, going nowhere, coasting, and ending up leaving the secret place having not met with him. The other thing that I do is I read the Bible. Radical for some in the secret place. I take the word, which is God speaking to me. So if I want God to speak to me, I talk to him and I pray, Holy Spirit, just let the voice of Jesus be so real to me as I read the word. And I start to read the word and I'll turn it for prayer. You know, for example, Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. We sang it this morning. I love you, Lord, my strength. Lord, I love you. You're my strength. I turn it round. And then if it goes into something that David prayed, the King David, or Jesus prayed, or the disciples prayed, or Paul prayed, I'll say, Father, I just want to turn that right back at you. I read a promise here. Lord, I want to ask for that. But if I struggle with my mind and my focus, I just start to read the word and pray. And very soon, I'm right on it with the Lord. And I feel I'm in the zone. You know what I mean, in the zone? Some of you guys need to learn what it means to be in the zone. We know that in Christ, we are already in the zone, positionally. But it's like every part of me is in there now, my mind and my body, and I'm all involved rather than just, you know, positionally. In Christ, I'm experientially, I'm in the zone. And I'm praying the will of God, and I'm hearing God through his word. And it's exciting because I'm starting to believe God because I'm hearing him. And his word is bringing faith into my heart. And I'm also, if I'm worried about anything, you know, I'll just say straight away, Father, worry actually stops me meeting with you. Have you ever found that when you go and pray, worry just can go round and round and round and round, which is why Jesus says, cast all your cares onto me, onto God, because he cares for you. So I just say, Father, I'm going to hand everything over and trust you. I can't work this out, but you're Lord, you're God Almighty, and you're my Father. I just ask you to get involved and bring a solution, but I'll leave it with you. So that you and I can actually talk and not just you listening to me whining and worrying about something. I'll hand it over and just leave it. Cast. You know, to be a worry-free person is the goal of Jesus for your life. And the place of prayer is to unburden yourself. Throw it all off. Give it to him, because he cares for you. I love that. And so if you take prayer in the secret place and you begin to speak out and you begin to focus or worship or read the word and pray, very soon you and your Father will be having a great time together. I know this is basic, but if we ain't doing this, or if we've neglected this, then there will not be a tsunami built out of your spirit and your life with God. God wants to build something out of you, that you're actually seeing the awesome deeds and the breaking out of the kingdom of heaven. The other thing that can happen, and happens regularly to me, I have to confess, if I'm not careful, is I become really boring in prayer. Has anybody ever got so bored with your own prayer life? You think, God, you must be so bored. If I'm bored, you must be. Because it's same old. It's like some people, you know, they have the same thing going on all the time. Well, I pray for my dog, and I pray for my cat, and I pray for my kids, and I pray for my money. And that's it. Nick, tomorrow, I pray for my dog, and I pray for my cat, and I pray for my kids, and I pray for my money. And that person who annoyed me, and I prayed for the dog, the cat. Honestly, that is a bore. It's not that God doesn't want you to pray for everybody. Father, thank you. But it's like when you hear him and what he wants to do in your family, it's a different kind of prayer. And it changes up. You know, you've got different things to pray every day because you're getting to know and hear God, and it becomes, oh, that's exciting, what you want to do with my dog and cat. You know? And, you know, honestly, if all we do is repeat the same prayers all the time, then something's wrong, isn't it? It's just a routine. Imagine having exactly the same conversation with your wife every day. May as well just play it. She's got it recorded on my iPad. I just press it. Here we go. Listen to that. Listen to that. I meant it when I first said it, darling. First time out was great. Let's repeat. It's like we have to break out the routine that gets us stuck in a rut. And not really into a real relational dimension with Almighty God. How could it be boring? Can I just suggest to you that he's not? And there's a relational problem then if we're not excited about prayer and time with God. So we need to get that back by just experiencing new things. And the way I change it up, basically, I do different things. If my body is tired, I literally will not go and sit on a sofa, put my feet up with a cup of coffee and go, ah, Jesus. Because very soon I will be. Okay, so tired physically happens to me too. Okay? And if I'm tired, this morning I was so tired. 5:30, I was so tired. I was like going like this. And it was like, I'm teaching on prayer. I can't teach on prayer by doing this. So, but this is normal. I get up and I start to pace. Father, I thank you. I praise you that you are God, that you are the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. I thank you that you're my Father who cares about currently how I'm feeling. And I ask you, the God of the ages, the one who gives strength to your people, give me strength. I pray, Father, for that supernatural ability of your Spirit to rise up and be strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit. So if I just do this, I'll soon be dropping off because it doesn't work for me. And I'm pretty confident it wouldn't for you. But if it does, we'll go ahead and do it as long as you stay awake and are genuinely encountering God. Sometimes I will sing ever so loud, but I make sure nobody else is in the house. Because I'm never free if I think someone else is listening. But I'm freest with my Father. I'm freest with God. He doesn't mind how I sound. And sometimes it's shocking. But I sing a new song. I make up songs all the time. You'd never like to hear them. I get all the words wrong and in the wrong order. But he doesn't mind because he knows it's coming from my heart. And so I'm singing and praising, and sometimes I'll shout my praises to him. And I think they probably could hear in the office over the road, but I don't care. It's like I'm free. But I'm awake to God. And suddenly it's like, God, you're here and you're awesome. I'm having a great time with God. But you've got to break through that flesh barrier. It's what I call it. It's like a barrier that actually stops me from like engaging and putting anything into this. Because eventually I will reap what I sow. So if I'm not sowing anything, guess what? I'll leave having not reaped any life. King David, you know, it was a place of transformation for him. And it is for me too. And I trust that you find that. That I can go in weak, come out strong. I can go in discouraged, come out full of encouragement. I can go in perplexed, not knowing what to do, and come out with a word of faith. That I'm like, no worries. God's on it. And it's going to be amazing. But before, if you'd seen me before I went in, you'd have thought, she didn't look good. But I came out good. And that's the joy of a relationship with God. You go in like this and you come out like that. Peace. Nothing can give you peace like with God. The peace that passes all understanding. There's a peace for his people that we are to love and live in. And not be concerned or worried or stressed about anything. Even our discipleship. Have you ever been stressed about how far on with God you are? No, just me. Sometimes it's just good to say, Father, you know, please change me. I'd love it. I need transformation and change. But I give myself to you for that. I'm going on and on, aren't I? Sometimes I pray in tongues. And that will start me off the life of the Spirit and just use the gift of tongues, which is like personal prayer language. And we begin to pray and it just stirs up the Holy Spirit and the life of God in me. I don't know, but if you're bored, change. That's what I'm saying. So Jesus said, when you pray, go to your Father who's in the secret place and your Father will reward you openly. So find a time, a place. He's going to meet you there. He's already waiting. And pray. There are going to be open rewards. That's the promise of having a real relationship with God. You're going to see what God is going to do in and through your life. And other people will too. Other people will experience the power of God through your prayer life. There'd be an open reward. I think King David would have said that day where God broke through his enemies like the mighty waters. The Lord of the breakthrough. He'd have said, now that's a great reward of going down to the stronghold, Lord. When he was pursued and hated by Saul, he'd have said, nothing rewards me like being with God. He is my best reward. Have you found him to be the best and only reward that life can give? Jesus said to Abraham, and he says it to us, I am your exceedingly great reward. God himself. And when you are so soaked and drenched with God, let's see what God's going to do. And that's the place God wants us, satisfied with his goodness, who he is, encountering God personally in prayer. And I know that this is a call to make time, to make space, to be disciplined and devoted. But let me tell you, the rewards blow things out of the water. You just wouldn't believe it. But we got to go into it in order to see the outbreak of God. The disciples were known as those who were bold and did great exploits, but they were known as those who'd been with him. Been with Jesus. And everybody can tell. You won't be able to, you don't have to tell your boss, I'm a nice person now, I'm a Christian. I am, really, I am. I promise you I am. I'm much nicer. Why don't you believe I'm nicer? Your husband or your wife or your family or your friends will never have to ask, are you nicer? Are you a better person? They'll just go, that's God. They're more gracious, they're kinder, they're softer, they have a yieldedness and a willingness to serve. And King David, he always had this fervency for God. I'm going to finish with this. You know, if we have no personal prayer life, it's like the fire of love for Jesus does grow cold. It does. And we are to always be fervent in spirit. And David, King David, loved the Lord all his days. He served the Lord all his days. And in order to faithfully finish the race that God has set before you, you need devoted, personal time with God. And that, beloved church, is going to result in many people being blessed. Many, but you as well. Because we're so blessed to be invited to meet with God. And he's waiting for every single one of us. Thank you, Jesus. And so what does God want to do this morning? It's not going to be one of these big kind of come forward, pray, lay hands, that the prayer life might fall on you. Because Jesus didn't do that. Could you pray for me that I could have a prayer life? No. I've just taught the word of God so that you do what Jesus says. And that's the only response. If there's been a neglect, then put it back in, reschedule, and get back into the secret place. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because he will help you have an amazing time with your Father. But if there's been boredom or same old, and there needs to be something fresh happen, then change it up. Ask the Lord to help you to do new things and pray, you know, and have new prayer targets and goals with your Father, that you begin to see open rewards and answers to prayer that you've never yet seen. Amen. God is going to answer what you pray in that place. Thank you, Lord. Shall we stand together? Can we have the team up? Basic teaching is always good for all of us, myself included. And let's just respond to the word of God today in the way that you can. Just say what you've heard from him this morning about personal prayer life and him waiting to meet up with you. Just come back to a choice, a right heart choice, really, love choice to be with your Father. Thank you, Lord. Reschedule personal devotion to Him. Tell Him from your heart that you want to know Him, experience Him in that place where you're one-on-one with Him. Thank Him that He is wanting you in that place. Jesus, thank you, Lord. It's overwhelming that God Himself should want us to be on our own with Him. The multitudes of heaven are worshiping Him, and yet His eye is on you. He looks for you every day, looks out for you. And it's love that calls you to Himself in prayer. Thank Him that though He's Almighty God, He is your Father. That by the Spirit you can say, Abba, Father. Just call Him Father now and just use His name. Thank you that I can call you Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are reviving our prayer lives, Lord, bringing us back to yourself, drawing us as we draw near to you. Thank you that when we're in there with you on our own, we can be in no doubt that you're there. Even though we don't feel you or see you, we believe your word, Jesus, that the Father is in the secret place. He's there, present, waiting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And in this moment, Lord, we want to say, and I want to say, that I want to live a devoted life. Devoted to God. Set apart for you. And I want to know you. If that's the cry of your heart, tell Him. Tell Him what you want to happen, you know, in your relationship with Him. Just speak it out to Him.